My father could use a little mercy now. The fruits of his labor, they fall and rot slowly on the ground. His work is almost over. It won't be long, he won't be around. And I love my father. He could use some mercy now. My brother could use a little mercy now. He's a stranger to freedom. He's shackled to his fears and his doubts. The pain that he lives in, it's almost more than living will. They could use a little mercy now. As they sink into a poison pit that's gonna take forever to climb out. They carry the weight of the faithful who follow them down. And I love my church and country. They could use some mercy now. Every living thing could use a little mercy now. In the race, 'twas another mushroom cloud. People in power, they'll do anything to keep their crown. I love life and life itself. Use some mercy now. Dangle between hell and hell on
takes his drink and sit down in his chair. Pick a fight with mama. Complain about us kids getting in his hair. At night he'd sit alone and smoke. I'd see his frown behind his lighter's flame. Now that same frown's in my mirror. I've got my daddy's blood inside my veins. Fish swim, birds fly, daddy's yell, mama's cry. Old men sit and think. Chicken TV dinner, 6 minutes on defrost, 3 on high. Beer to wash her down with, another, then some whiskey on the side. It ain't so bad alone here, it don't bother me that every night's the same. I don't need another lover hanging around trying to make me change. Fish swim, birds fly, lovers leave by and by. Old men sit and think. I don't know if she ever held me. All I know is that she let go of me. And I passed through like thunder. I passed through like rain. Passed out from under. Goodbye could have been my family name. And every time I settle down, it happens. I get a restless feeling I can't control. I hit the wall, then I hit the highway. I got the curse of the gypsy on my soul. And I move through like thunder. I move through like rain. Moving out from under. Goodbye could have been my family name. I can't break free of the winds that blow me. They roll in like a Gulf Coast hurricane. I I'd like to stay now, but I don't know how, hold me, baby, till I'm gone again. And when it's time to leave forever, I pray the Lord don't take me slow. I don't know where I'm going, just let me say goodbye and go. And I'll push through like thunder, I'll push through like rain, pushed out from under. Goodbye could have been my family name. Goodbye could have been my family name. Goodbye could have been my family name. First you fall, then you fly, and you believe you belong up in the sky. Flap your arm as you run. Every revolution brings you closer to the sun. You fall asleep in motion in uncharted hemispheres. Wake up with the stars falling down around your ears. When they hit the ground, they're nothing but stones. That's how you learn to live alone. That's how you learn to live alone. Bit by bit, you slip away. You lose yourself in pieces in the things you don't say. You're not here, but you're still there. The sun goes up, the sun goes down. You're not sure you care. You live inside the false till you don't recognize the truth. People send you pictures and you can't believe it's you. It's been years since your house has felt like home. It's how you learn to live alone. It's how you learn to live alone. Don't feel right, but it's not wrong. It's just hard to start again this far along. Brick by brick, the letting go. As you walk away from everything
there in the rubble till the rubble feels like home. That's how you learn to live alone. That's how you learn to live alone. Well, my father sure could use a little mercy now. The fruits of his labor fall and rot slowly on the ground. His work is almost over. Won't be long, he won't be around. I love my father. He could use some mercy now. And my brother, he could use a little mercy now. A stranger to freedom, shackled to fear and doubt. The pain that he lives in, it's almost more than living will allow. I love my brother. He could use some mercy now. My church and my country, they could use a little mercy now. As they sink into a poison pit, it's gonna take forever to climb out. They carry the weight of the faithful who follow them down. I love my church and country. They could use some mercy now. Every living thing could use a little mercy now. Only the hand of grace can end the race towards another mushroom cloud. There's people in power who'll do anything to keep their crown. Oh, I love life, and life itself could use some mercy now. mercy now. Oh, I know we don't deserve it, but we need it anyhow. We hang in the balance, dangle between hell and hallowed ground. And every single one of us could use some mercy now. Oh, every single one of us could use some mercy now. His drink and sit down in his chair. Pick a fight with mama. Complain about us kids getting in his hair. At night he'd sit alone and smoke. I'd see his frown behind his lighter's flame. Now that same frown's in my mirror. I've got my daddy's blood inside my veins. Fish swim, birds fly, daddy's yell, mama's cry. Old men sit and think. I drink. Chicken TV dinner, 6 minutes on defrost, three on high. Beer to wash it down with, another, then some whiskey on the side. It ain't so bad alone here. It don't bother me that every night's the same. I don't need another lover hanging around trying to make me change. Fish swim, birds fly, lovers leave by and by. Old men sit and think.
Mary, Mary Gauthier recorded yesterday in our studio here, and Mary's tonight in Munro's in Galway, on Sunday the Hawkswell Theatre in Sligo, on Monday Flowerfield Arts Centre in Port Stewart, next Wednesday the Pavilion in Cork, Thursday the Button Factory in Dublin, Friday night this day week St George's Church Belfast as part of the Cathedral Quarter Arts.
And that's I Drink by Mary Gauthier, Louisiana-born, Nashville-based singer whose fan base includes the likes of Tom Waits and Bob Dylan. And Mary Gauthier is here with me in studio. And lovely to have you with us, Mary.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for performing. I know we're going to try and get another number out of you. I Drink. Tell me about writing I Drink.
Oh, God, you know, I can't hardly remember. It's been a while. It's been a while. I know I wasn't drinking when I wrote it. I know that.
How many years ago was it since your last drink?
23. Yeah.
And how soon after that drink did you write the song?
5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was 5 years away from the bottle when I was able to write that song. Huh. Yeah.
And how long had you been writing at that point? How long had you been singing and writing?
Well, I started writing when I was about 35. So 34, 35. So, 4 or 5 years, maybe. Mm. Something like that.
And what started you singing and writing then?
Oh, it's such a strange story, you know. I got arrested for drunk driving. I'd had trouble with drinking drugs my whole life. And I got arrested, and something happened. Something touched me. And I think it was grace touched me. And I was able to see the nature of my condition, which was helplessness and hopelessness. And I was able to ask for help. And it changed me. And I was able to get help and get clean, get sober. The song started coming after that. It opened the channel, which is so backwards. You know, most musicians end up alcoholic.
Exactly. You've done it the opposite way around. Yeah. So when you first started, I guess you first started kind of writing the songs, and you write short stories as well. And you've had short stories published. So had you been writing the songs and then say, I'll see if I can sing? Or did you kind of know that you could sing as well anyway?
No, I didn't. I had to learn confidence, or earn confidence. I had to get in front of people and do it for quite a while to be comfortable with it. And it's a real twofer, you know. It's an art and a craft. And I've always had the gift of language. I've always been articulate and able to put words together in a way that came natural to me. But the craft was something I had to learn. I had to learn how to craft a song in a way that captured people. And so that took some time.
Hmm. And all that time, did you say to yourself, I have a feeling this is what I'm meant to do and this is what I'm meant to be? Because you'd run a restaurant before that, you know. There may have been the drink and all of that going on, but you had other things going on in your life. Did you still say at 35 you got sober, do you know what, singing, songwriting, touring, I think that might be for me? Or was that like years before you accepted, I can do this, I can make a career out of this?
Well, it was a process. Got sober at 29, started writing at 33, 34. By the time I was 40... I had made 2 CDs. I had played some gigs, and I still had my restaurant. And I decided at my 40th birthday to sell it, that I was going to do this music thing full time. And everybody thought I was out of my mind. Who starts at 40 in the music business? You know?
And you have a restaurant going along as well that you can, you know.
It's successful.
And it's successful.
And I'm covered with insurance in the States. That's a big deal to have health insurance.
That's true.
And I had, a new car every 3-4 years. I had my life pretty wrapped up. But I wasn't doing what I was passionate about anymore. I was passionate about the restaurant in the beginning, and I fell out of love. You know, after a decade of it, I was done, and I had to be honest and true to stay sober. So in order to maintain my recovery, I had to walk away from that and pursue what I was passionate about, which is songwriting. I thought it was a vow of poverty, you know. I downscaled everything, you
did
know.
You?
I did. I figured I'd be poor.
I bet you it was a bit of a vow of poverty in the beginning, surely, no?
It was. It was. It was for the first 5 or 6 years, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, that's a big commitment. That is a vow. It's a vocation that you took on board. Yeah.
Yeah, but when I moved to Nashville, it started happening.
Did it?
I found a publisher. My song started getting recorded. Got a record deal. I hit the road with the backing of Universal Records, and it's just been an incredibly unbelievable journey. It's not supposed to happen this way.
Huh.
No, on paper, people would say there's no way it's going to happen. What, a 40-year-old lesbian in Nashville is going to get a record deal, right? Well, I did. And they.
How quickly did you get a record deal when you went to Nashville?
In a year.
Did you?
Yeah. But I'm lucky.
Well,
and I had that song I just played for you.
Did you?
I Drink has opened more doors than anything. That song has been a door opener for me. There's an old Jackson Browne song, and it's called The Road, and Highways and Dance Halls, a good song will take you far. I here to tell you, a good song will take you far.
Yeah. And do people come up to you after gigs and say, that song, I Drink, I listen to that, I hear myself in it, I see myself in it?
Yes. Absolutely. It's been a life changer for me. You know, I had that song for a while. It took about 6 years after I wrote it for doors to start flying open. But that's the standard cycle. I find out after being in Nashville a while, 6-7 years.
Is it?
Yeah.
Live at Blue Rock, first live album in what, 2 decades, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Why so long? Why so long to get that live album out there?
Well, I wanted to make sure I was good enough.
Did you not know that a couple of years after moving to Nashville?
I knew I had the songs. I didn't know I had the live performance. When you capture a live performance, you don't touch it. You know, you don't fix anything. And so the whole show from beginning to end had to be great for me to be comfortable enough to put it on a record. So I had to put in my 10,000 hours on stages all over the world.
10,000?
I think so, yeah. That's about right to get to a journeyman, to get to journeyman stat. I didn't want to make a live record until I felt like I was a journeyman at what I did. And it took a while.
And I mentioned the people, the fan base, including Tom Waits and Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan has played your stuff on his radio show when he was doing his radio show. Tom Waits, similarly. Does that mean a lot to you?
It means the world to me. Two of the greatest songwriters, I think, of all time. Have endorsed me. Award shows are rigged by record companies, but you can't rig a Dylan or a Waits. They're unriggable. They're going to endorse what they like and nothing else, and that's what makes them great. And so I take their endorsement as a vote of confidence, and it helps me to persevere and keep going, and I'm deeply honored by it. Absolutely.
Well, the live album is out now, so we can get it on in a record stores and on iTunes and all of that live at Blue Rock. We're going to get you to play another song for us, Mary. What are you going to play?
This is a song called Goodbye. I wrote it a few years back. It's a sort of a Merle Haggard-inspired folk song, if that's possible.
Okay. If people want to catch up with you and find out more about your music and all of that, website address?
Absolutely, yeah.
MaryGauthier.com?
Yeah.
And it's spelled T, because I keep on being tempted to say Gauthier, G-A-U-T-H-I-E-R, but it's the Cajun pronunciation is Gauthier. That's
right.
How it's pronounced, yeah.
Right, the South Louisiana French.
The South Louisiana French, that's great, I love it. Okay, well listen, take it away for us.
How you learn to live alone from Mary Gauthier, who's in our Cork studio this evening, our head of her performance at Coughlin's Live in Cork City later this evening, and that song on Mary's new album, which is called Trouble and Love. Trouble and Love, Mary, in the album title, and in fact it's one of the songs on the album as well. Is it inevitable that the two go hand in hand?
Well, that's a really good question. I suppose it depends on the individual. Certainly for me, the two have gone hand in hand, like beans on rice, inseparable. It just seems as though trouble and love accompany each other. You know, maybe, I don't know, what about you?
Well, I'm looking at the fact that the song that you just performed for us, How You Learn to Live Alone, which is the second last song on the album, in fact, is there a sense that, you know, the journey through the other songs, when a woman goes cold, falls from true, trouble and love, right down to that, How You Learn to Live Alone, is that the lesson in some ways that you learn from the writing of these songs, or did you arrive at that realization through the writing of these songs?
Well, you know, the songs teach me what I think. I have to write it down, and then I have to read it to know what I think. And I think the lessons come slowly. I'm really not exactly sure how it works. I do know that for me, the songs have been lifesavers, and in my little lifeboats that I crawl in and float across the vast ocean of confusion, I'm really, really grateful that I have this ability to write songs. I don't know what I'd do without it.
I said in the introduction that, in fact, you were 35 before you wrote your first. Maybe you had written them secretly before that, I don't know. But 35 before you came to that as a way of dealing with things in life. What did you do before writing the songs to deal with difficulties in life?
Well, when I was young, I used drugs and alcohol to numb the pain. And I think, actually, drugs and alcohol saved my life for a long time. And then it became the thing that was killing me. And I managed to find recovery and get sober before I turned 30. And then I needed about 4 or 5 years to get steady and to physically and spiritually and emotionally heal. And then the songs came. In the meantime, I was a chef. I cook in the restaurant business. I stayed in the kitchen 10, 12 hours a day.
Some people refer to cooking as a very therapeutic activity. Did it have a therapeutic effect for you?
Yeah, you know, cooking is a great way to show love. I think you can express love through food, and I think you can express love through songs, and I think that's what they have in common, and that's what I enjoy about both of them, is I can show you I love you with a meal, and I can show you I love you with a song.
You had an album called The Foundling. What were you dealing with on that particular album? What were you exploring? What were you trying to understand?
Yeah, very good question. Thanks for asking. I was adopted. I was born to an unmarried woman in 1962 in the South, deep in New Orleans. And back then, as you know, women were encouraged to give away their babies if they didn't have a husband. And so I was put up for adoption. I lived in St. Vincent's Women and Infants. They called it an asylum, St. Vincent's Women and Infants Asylum. And I got adopted about a year old. And I think there was a very serious trauma that happened to me back then. The trauma, though, wasn't described as a trauma to me. I had to figure that out. And you know, I've spent my whole life untangling it. And I think the foundling is me trying to make sense of what happened and how it impacted me and how to find my way to the other side of it, to not be defined by that trauma anymore.
And at the end of The Foundling, was it actually the writing of the songs that brought you to that realization, or were there other events that brought you there?
It culminated personally in my life with a lot of reading. I read over 80 books on adoption and 80 books on all three aspects of, they call it the adoption triad, the birth mother, the adoptive mother, and the adoptee, looking at it from all the different perspectives. And so I did research, and the research led to songs, and the songs led to research, and I went to conferences and worked with other adoptees and found my way to political activism around the issue, and all of it came together to help me put it into a framework that I can understand.
I suppose one of the songs that you're probably best known for in this country is a song called I Drink. What sort of resonance does that have in other venues, or does it just have? Do you find that it has more of a resonance here in Ireland?
Oh no! I don't think the Irish are all that unique in that aspect. I think they may be more renowned, but unique, I don't know. I Drink seems to work just about everywhere I play it. The interesting thing is, when I wrote it, I was 5 years sober.
Oh, well, maybe you took that time to get to the point where you could write the song, I guess.
I think you're right.
You're going to finish with a song called Mercy Now. This is an older song. Just maybe you'd set it up for us and start and play it for us. And maybe actually before you do that, the Michelle that's playing with you on violin, who is she? Because it was a beautiful accompaniment in the first song.
Oh, thanks for asking. It's a he, actually.
I beg your pardon, Michelle.
Well, it looks like Michelle because it's Michele.
Ah.
And it's an Italian name. This is Michele Gazzice. And he lives in Brescia, Italy, and we've been playing together for a while, and when we're finished with Ireland, we're heading to Italy, actually, to play there.
All right, and will we hear Michele on Mercy Now as well?
Yeah, Michele has got himself a viola now in his hand. So.
Great stuff. Well,
yeah.
Well, maybe just go straight into the song for us, if you wouldn't mind, maybe.
Happy to do so. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks.